And welcome back inside the studio here on Training Camp Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Joined by Eagles offensive lineman Julian Vandervelde. Julian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
It's important that we say Vandervelde, right? Not yeah. Vanderveld.
It's been said both ways for many years. I'm pretty much used to whatever.
All right. So we have your second training camp here after your rookie season last year when you were thrown right into the mix. How is this training camp going for you compared to last year?
I think it's going extremely well, honestly. I mean, it was nice to have an off season. To be able to get in with the coaches, with the guys, you know, have some time to bond more closely with your teammates, especially as an offensive line where something like chemistry between players is so important. So to come into training camp with that has really made this more of a comfortable training camp, I think, for all of us. We're moving much faster. We're miles ahead of where we were last year. And for me personally, I couldn't be happier.
In terms of this offensive line, you know, you guys lose Jason Peters, but you talk about the chemistry. You guys have had all offseason to work together, and you guys were very good last year. Do you expect to step up even from that in 2012?
Oh, absolutely. I don't see any reason why we can't be one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, it's a group of guys that like each other. There's no internal strife. Nobody's arguing over anything. We're all competitive. We're all athletic. We know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we're able to adjust to each other really well within the context of our scheme.
Now, the story for you this training camp has been versatility. You know, you're mainly working at left guard so far, but center is definitely an option for you here, and it's the first time you've really played it, right? How is that going for you?
It's going fairly well. You know, it's a new experience, and you wouldn't think that moving from guard just a few feet over to center would be that much of a difference. But the mental aspect of it, the amount of processing that you have to do, kind of being the quarterback of the offensive line, just puts it on a completely different level. And what's really nice for me is having guys like Mike Gibson, Dallas Reynolds, Steve Vallos, you know, Jason Kelce out there, who not only can I watch them, but a lot of them have been in this system before. For guys like Kelce and Dallas have been in it for, you know, an extended period of time. They know what Howard wants. They know what to look for in terms of a center within our scheme. And so they're really able to help me out whenever I need a resource.
When you talk about the jump up in terms of the mental responsibilities of the center, take us through what some of those responsibilities.
Well, as a guard, you kind of listen to your center, you listen to your quarterback, and then you simply respond to whatever they throw at you. The center's always right, and as long as you follow your center, you never really, you know, have much of a problem. As the center, you are responsible for getting everyone to where they need to be. You've got your linebackers. You've got to have the rotation of the safeties. You know, you have to be a little bit in your quarterback's head and know what he's going to want in terms of when a blitz is coming, being able to see it at the same time that he does. So the amount of processing work that just goes into it, looking at every position on the defense, picking up the cues, and knowing the adjustments that you need to make personally so that the rest of the offensive line can get to where they need to be, it's a big step up.
So when you guys break the huddle, what is sort of the checklist that runs down your mind as you go to the ball?
Well, the first thing's the count. You always got to have the count. And we have a lot of different cadences, so it's definitely something that you need to keep track of. But outside of the cadence, you get up there, you look at the linebackers, you look at the defensive line, you look at the safeties, you have to pick out your mic, remember the protection, that makes a big difference on where you're IDing and which way the line is sliding, if you're sliding at all. You know, run, pass, every single aspect of it really does go through your head step by step by step. And usually the last thing before you snap the ball is the count again.
So now, we've talked about this before, but you are a smart guy. It seems like center is a good fit for you, and the mental gymnastics of it is something that you kind of like.
I really like it a lot. I'm enjoying it so far. It's been a lot of fun stepping into that position and kind of being able to adjust to the mental side of it. I think every day I'm getting a little bit better. Every day my IDs are getting a little bit faster. My reads are getting a little bit more accurate. And like I said, I've got some great resources and the guys next to me and ahead of me, you know, who have played the position for an extended period of time, kind of giving me advice on the things that I can do to better myself at the position. We all just want to be better out here. We want this team to win.
Now, you know, you came in the same draft class as Jason Kelce last year. You didn't get into many games last year, but you got to see him play in those 16 games. What was that like watching him go through that process?
It was a lot of fun for me seeing the way that he was able to grow throughout the season. You know, knowing that that we were in the same draft class, that I should be able to make the same kind of growth. You know, just kind of looking at his athleticism, the way that he played the game, the way he played center in particular, which is very impressive. He has the potential to be one of the best centers in the league, if not the best, with his athleticism, his speed, and the way that he sees blitzes, that he sees defenses and formations, is something that I really try and emulate.
So are you constantly in his head in meetings and and on tape watching what he does?
On tape more so than in the meetings, I think. We kind of sit on different parts of the room, in the meeting room, but just listening to what he says, listening to the comments that he makes and the observations that he has have really helped me to kind of, you know, figure out where my focus needs to be when I get up to the line and play the same position.
How about snapping the ball? How are you adjusting to that?
That is a completely different animal, and I really didn't think it was going to be, you know, that big of a deal. It doesn't seem like that big of a thing. But when you have that much running through your head, the last thing that you want to have to think about is whether or not your snap went over the quarterback's head or rolled on the ground, you know, was left, right. So continuous reps is just the most important thing of that, getting into a rhythm where you're not, you know, bulleting the ball back there. That was my big problem at first, was I was just firing the thing back there at full speed, and if you miss by an inch, then it goes flying, you know, 20 yards back there. You got to be able to give your quarterback a ball that he can handle, but not so, you know, lilting that by the time he catches it, there's a blitzer right in his face.
Now, yesterday, I think during 7-on-7s, you were snapping shotguns to Michael Vick. Have you had a chance to work with all the different quarterbacks in that capacity?
At this point, I have, yes, and it's really interesting, sort of the differences between quarterbacks. In shotgun, which I find to be the more difficult of the two kinds of snapping, your own personal consistency is more important. Whereas when you're under center, every quarterback puts a little bit different pressure. Every quarterback has a little different hand position. So you have to be able to adjust to the different quarterbacks in that situation. So having had a chance now to snap with all of the quarterbacks, I think, has been really big for me.
Now, you mentioned the other guys competing for that backup center job, Dallas, Steve Vallos, and maybe even Mike Gibson. What is it like? Take us through in training camp when you're competing with guys who you're also friends with.
It's really a great experience just because everyone does want everyone to be successful. You're not looking over your shoulder. No one's trying to stab each other in the back, you know. We want every single guy wants every other guy to be as successful as he can be. For those of us that don't make the team, because not everybody can, we all want each other to have a long and successful career somewhere else within the league. Some guys, this is their second time back. You know, Mike Gibson, I believe Steve Vallos were here before. And now they're back within, you know, the system. And it's a little different with Howard now as opposed to Juan Castillo. But when you see a guy later on, you want to be able to shake his hand. You want to be able to, you know, congratulate him on the success that he's had. And for those of us that do make the team, we want to win a Super Bowl. That's our only goal, really. So to have that sort of friendship and camaraderie and everybody looking for the same things and wanting the same things, wanting the best for each other, it makes the competition a lot more fun.
And, you know, it has been a difficult training camp here, a lot of hitting out here in the sun at Lehigh University. What have you been doing in your off time?
I've actually been watching Doctor Who. I've been marathoning it. You know, the outside of the playbook and the normal stuff that you expect, running through practice in your head, watching film, we do get some downtime, and I think it's important to get away from the game, to not overload yourself and overwhelm yourself, because sooner or later, no matter how good a thing is, you get sick of it if you just obsess over it compulsively. So during my downtime, you know, get back to the room, take a nap sometimes, and like I said, I've been marathoning the Doctor Who on Netflix like crazy.
All right, you know, you are as before you said, a self-identified member of Nerd Nation, right? What are some of the other things that make you a nerd?
Oh, anime, manga. I'm obsessed with Japanese culture. I'm so jealous of all my friends that didn't play college sports. They got to go on, you know, trips over there, got to do. I have a friend right now who's student teaching over in Japan that just drives me crazy. But, you know, I'll have my chance to go over there. I've been really getting into comics lately. I was always into Japanese comics, but American comics have really been kind of getting me more into the American scene. I was at Philadelphia Comic Con this last year and picked up a lot of Marvel stuff. The Avengers versus X-Men storyline that's going on right now, I'm big into that. Just, you know, little things like that. I'm certainly not the biggest nerd I know, but it's a lot of fun to kind of get into those little quirkier things.
I've been to Japan. It's beautiful. You have to make it. Have you talked to McKay Jacobson? He took his Mormon mission in Japan, I think.
I did not know that. I have not had a chance to talk to him yet.
Well, you got it. Those are the things you got to know. The other thing I wanted to ask you,
yes, I still have my collection of Pokemon cards.
You do still have
your
collection
of
Pokemon cards. What else? Any other? What's your favorite comic?
My favorite comic right now is definitely X-Men, for various reasons. I think that the Avengers kind of, you know, get there. Everyone likes the Avengers because they're, you know, America's greatest heroes and all this. But the X-Men kind of being persecuted and having to, you know, fight for everything that they get and just trying to do the right thing.
Favorite character?
Favorite character?
On X-Men?
Magic.
Okay.
Yeah, Colossus's little sister. Not a very well-known one. I actually found one piece of merchandise at Philly Comic Con. It was just a little figurine of her. It was the only piece of Magic merchandise there, and as soon as I saw it, I just snatched it up.
Nice. One, I did remember my other question. It's the Olympics time. Two-time state champion in the discus. You watching the Olympics? Could you make it out there?
I am. I was actually two-time in the shot put.
Oh, shot put.
And I'll tell you what, it frustrates me to no end that, you know, we get to see all the swimming and all the running and the gymnastics and all of that. But I think it was I'm rooming with Mike Gibson, and he said he got up the other day to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and it's like 3 in the morning, and we had the TV on, and there's powerlifting on. You know, like, that's the sort of stuff that I, as a lineman, would like to see, is the field events and the powerlifting and the wrestling and, you know, stuff like that. But it's just not as popular, and so they don't show it as much. But I'm trying to follow it as much as possible. We have been following the U.S. swimming team basically religiously, and the volleyball and the water polo, oh my goodness.
Oh, it's impressive.
Those guys are
I'm a
intense.
Handball fan myself.
Are
that's
you?
A cool one.
That's
the
nice.
Shot put, I don't think the shot put starts till next week, but are there any guys who you came up against who are now playing at the Olympic level?
There are not. Iowa was not the biggest shot put, you know, community. But there were definitely guys whose names I can't remember anymore that I would watch when I was back in high school trying to do the shot put. And, man, those guys are intense. I mean, they really get into it. And they know when they hit a good one, too.
All right. Well, Julian Vandervelde, thank you very much for joining us here inside the studio on Training Camp Live.